Good morning, Northwoods. Great to see each of you. Like I said, cold day, but I heard in Wisconsin, they got the same weather, but they're just now starting to put on coats. So I'm glad we're in church this morning. And hey, I think we got Teen Challenge joining us over here this morning. Can you give it up for our Teen Challenge guys? One of our ministry partners here at Northwoods. Great to have you guys with us. And, before we get going, I want to take a moment here at the top of the service, top of the message to bring you up to speed on our Now is the Time initiative. So if you're new with us or if you're not familiar with this, we're near the beginning of a 25-month capital campaign as a church. And the focus of this campaign is ministering to the needs of our congregation and reaching the hearts of our neighbors. And so those of us who call Northwoods home have sacrificially given and committed a certain amount of money above are giving for the next 25 months to help bring this vision to life. And so over the next 20 months, we will plan to provide updates and announcements about this and the progress of how this is, how the campaign is going every 6 to 8 weeks in service. So as a refresher, our dream goal for this campaign was to raise $15 million, which would accomplish everything that we had planned to do. If you just, as a refresher, to kind of bring those back to your mind, here are the six projects we're planning to do through this campaign: is building maintenance, atrium redesign and refresh, indoor playground, children's ministry refresh, chapel construction, and a guest house for partners and planters. And if you're new to Northwoods and you want to learn more about that, you can find the companion guide to this campaign. There's a Now is the Time booth out in the lobby. You can pick one of these up, and this will go in a little bit more in depth on each of those projects and why. So we made our commitments through the end of November last year. And to date, the total amount committed sits at $12.9 million. So come on, we can praise God for that. And to date, the amount received sits at $3.9 million. So we're in a really healthy spot and off to a great start. And as I've told you, this is the fifth campaign we've done as a church. And if history repeats itself, and with God as our help, we could very well see the full $15 million come in and accomplish every project. And so we're praying and believing God for the full 15. So to date, we have already begun addressing some of the most urgent maintenance needs. So we have purchased the HVAC units that will be going out near the student center over there in phase one. Those will be installed, everything goes as planned, will be installed around March. And then that will be followed by new roofing over the student center and the atrium, which was needed to be done a while ago. And then right now we are also beginning the preliminary work in our children's ministry, including getting bids, finishing the design work, and establishing timelines. And so we plan to start the refresh and remodel and renovation of our children's ministry near the end of February. So I want to kind of let you know how it's going to work. We're going to start with all the upstairs classrooms first, and then we will move to the basement. And our goal is to see the upstairs and the downstairs completed by the end of July. So we're going to keep you updated regularly on the progress of that. So last thing, I know you may be wondering about the other projects, and we are beginning to plan for those as well, but we want to be wise and sensible stewards. So the pace of the projects will match or likely match the flow of our increased financial generosity. So that's the update for now. We'll continue to keep you up to speed as things progress. I want to thank you again for your continued generosity. And let's just take a moment to pray and thank God for what he's done so far through this campaign. So Lord, as we stand here in January, just about a month or two into this 25-month campaign, Lord, we thank you again for how you have worked in the hearts of each of us and how you continue to provide for the vision that you've given us as a church. And so, Lord, again, we just lay all of these projects at your feet. We pray you'd be with us in the midst of this, that you'd help us. And, Lord, we pray that we would see the full $15 million and we would accomplish everything that we believe you have put on our heart to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today is day 21 of the fast. It's the last day, and I put on a tie because I am excited. Weeping endures for the night, but come on, somebody, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And you know what? Sometimes joy comes in the form of a 16-ounce medium rare ribeye. Anybody with me on that? Pepperoni pizza. It's all in my head right now, okay? But I pray that these past 21 days have been meaningful and a rewarding time in your relationship with Jesus. You know, I was excited to see that there were many of you who engaged with the daily devotionals we released through the Bible app. The media team shared with me that as of Friday, there were 3,322 people who subscribed to the plan. And on Friday, the plan doesn't end till today, but there were 1,256 that had already finished the plan. So that's super cool. Great to see so many engaging with that. Now, as we close this fast, couple things to keep in mind. Number one, if you really shut it down in terms of food, do yourself a favor and ease your way back into eating. As much as you might want to head straight to Dairy Queen or the steakhouse, I'm telling you, do yourself a favor, ease your way back in. Your body will thank you. Okay? Secondly, nobody leaves this fast feeling like a failure. Nobody leaves this fast feeling like a failure. During a fast, it's really easy to get all up in your head and let negative thoughts run rampant. So we think things like, you know, I didn't suffer enough, or maybe God's withholding his blessing from me because I didn't fast in, you know, intensely enough, or maybe I failed because I didn't follow through with what I had planned to do from the outset, or this fast must not have meant anything to God because nothing really happened in my life and nothing changed. Listen, I struggle with many of those same thoughts almost every year when it comes to fasting. I was struggling with them some of this week. And I think we would all do well to be reminded that God works by invitation, not condemnation. Invitation, not condemnation. So this fast was simply an invitation to a deeper relationship with him. And any step you took, no matter how small, is pleasing to God and worth celebrating. Even if you chose not to respond at all and did nothing, I want you to understand, still there's no condemnation from God, and his invitation to a deeper relationship with him still stands. So if you walked in here today, the end of this fast, with any sense of condemnation and negative thoughts about this fast, I want you to recognize that is not the voice of God. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull a Frozen and let it go. Let it go, all right? So today, we finish out a series that we've been in called Everyday Relationship. And the goal is that we wouldn't just settle for a Sunday relationship with the Lord, but we would pursue an everyday relationship with him because he's just as good on Monday through Saturday as he is on Sunday. Again, can I get a witness from somebody on that? Just as good on Monday through Saturday as he is on Sunday. So the first week we talked about getting back in rhythm and how developing a rhythm helps us sustain our everyday relationship. And then in the second week, we talked about breaking free from the distractions that so often hinder our relationship. And then last week, we talked about how to hold on and not give up in our relationship when life gets tough. And today, as we close out this series, we're gonna talk about another vital component of an everyday relationship, and that is hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. Now, I'm just gonna tell you, I got a little bit of extra passion around this one today. This is just something that came out of the fast for me this year that God really put his finger on in my life. And so I'm excited to share more about this today. So a few years ago, I was introduced to an app on your phone that can identify birds you see and hear. Okay, before then, I cannot ever remember ever consciously listening or like looking for birds. Okay, this wasn't something that ever interested me. So it's like birds are there, but they kind of fade into the background of everyday life. But in this app, it's called the Merlin app, you can actually record the sounds of birds around you. And in real time, it will identify the species of bird you're hearing. And the first time I tried it, I was amazed to discover how many different birds there were around me that I was oblivious to. Birding suddenly became kind of intriguing. And since then, in my backyard alone, I counted this up yesterday, I have identified 41 different types of birds and have even learned how to recognize many of them by their sound. Now, I know I might have just outed myself as a bird nerd, but that's okay. Even my five-year-old son will be sitting out on our back deck, and he's calling out the type of birds that he's hearing in our backyard now. Okay, but from that experience, I learned two important realities about hearing. Number one, there are many sounds around us that we don't hear or don't pay attention to. So I had numerous birds in my backyard, but never really heard them until recently. Okay, number two, we can learn to hear. We can learn to hear. And just as that's true for Blue Jays and Cardinals, the same is true in our relationship with God. In that many times, he's speaking, but because we aren't tuned in, we don't recognize his voice. But here's the good news. We can learn to hear and identify and tune in to what he's saying. And you know, this week, the Lord just impressed upon my heart that there are very few things that are more important in this life than hearing from God. Very few things more important than hearing from God. And it's my personal belief that this has probably never been more true than now, in the day and age in which we're living. So I don't know if you've recognized this or not, but today we have an unlimited number of substitutes and replacements for the voice of God. And there it's at our very fingertips. Let me mention a few. Here's substitute number one, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence. Now, I'm not gonna get into the weeds about AI. I know many of you have questions about it. And in a few weeks, we're starting a series called Hot Button. And in that series, I'm gonna preach a message on the topic of AI and how Christians should think about it. So pray for me, okay? But I mention it here to say that while AI can certainly be a helpful tool in various settings, the danger is that it moves beyond a tool and becomes a substitute or replacement for hearing from God. I want you to think about it. Because why spend time and effort seeking God when I can just ask ChatGPT and get an immediate answer like that? Think about our children growing up today. Again, I'm not bashing AI, all of AI. There are many good things AI can do. But think about our children growing up today. There is being deeply ingrained in them that when you need an answer, you turn to AI. You need someone to talk to? Go find a chatbot on AI. In all transparency, I've had to put boundaries in my own life around AI usage because I've recognized that it's just too easy to turn there for answers and as a result, short-circuit my ability to think and process and hear from God. AI is a tool. It is not a replacement or substitute for the voice of God. Here's substitute number two, books. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of books on any topic imaginable. You can listen to them. You can read them digitally or in print. How-to books, why-to books, how I did it, how you can do it, books galore. Now, to be clear, nothing wrong with books. I love books. I'm an avid reader. I read in preparing to preach. I just gave our leadership team here at Northwoods a list of 12 books to kind of make up their reading list for 2026. There are many times where God has used a book to inspire me, challenge me, grow me, and speak to me. So don't hear me bashing books. All I'm saying is, if the first place we turn when we need an answer is to a book another human wrote, and we completely bypass our relationship with God, the book may have become a substitute. Here's substitute number three, podcasts. As of January 2026, there are 4.5 million podcasts around the world. And I just looked this up. There were nearly 480,000 new shows that launched in just the past 3 months. That's crazy. Podcasts are very popular, with 55% of our population listening to them every month. And I have no shame in admitting I'm one of the 55% listening to podcasts. It's amazing. You can listen to the thoughts and advice of some of the best thinkers and speakers on any topic, many times for free. So what a wonderful opportunity to learn, stay informed, be in challenge, and hear others' insights. All good things. But again, not a replacement for your relationship with God and hearing from him. Okay, I could go on, but you get the picture. There is no end to the number of substitutes for hearing God's voice. Okay, and one more time, let me just say, none of the things I mentioned are bad. I love how one author summed it up when he was referring to the many things that we substitute for the voice of God in our life. He said, they must be enhancers, a secondary resource, but not the primary source of our life in the Spirit. I totally agree. There is no substitute for hearing from God. And because I believe it's never been more pertinent than now, I just believe we have to lean into our relationship with God and tune into his voice. Now, how do we do that? Well, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. It's right in the middle of your Bible, book of Proverbs, and go to chapter eight and verse 34. Proverbs 8:34. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's full of kind of short, punchy statements that give us God's wisdom for life. And in chapter 8, there's a passage that has really been on my heart as of late. It says this in verse 34. Look at it with me. It says, blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Now, in this passage, I want you to understand, wisdom is personified. So it's as if wisdom is a person talking to us. It's like wisdom is saying, hey, you're blessed when you listen to me, when you watch, and when you wait for me. Okay, but I want you to recognize true wisdom comes from God. In the book of Isaiah, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of wisdom. And James tells us that true wisdom comes from above. So there's a sense that not only does this passage relate to the pursuit of wisdom, but ultimately hearing God, who is the voice of wisdom. And so here in this passage, we're gonna unpack five amplifiers that help us to hear God's voice. Okay, here's amplifier number one, hunger. Hunger. Now, where do we see this in that passage? Well, I want you to look back with me. It says, blessed are those who listen, who watch, and who wait. Three words, listen, watch, and wait. Now, we're gonna take all of them individually here in a moment. But if we just take those three words as a whole, they speak of someone with a hunger to hear. It's someone saying, I'm gonna listen, I'm gonna watch, and I'm gonna wait because I'm hungry to hear from God, and I'm not going to settle for a substitute or replacement. So I want you to hear me, church. There has to be something in you that is hungry for and desires to hear from God. If the desire and hunger is not there, I found in my own life, we will often take the path of least resistance and end up living off of substitutes and replacements. Have you ever thought about why it is that the times we most often encounter God are the times of our greatest need? It's simply because those are the moments when we are most often desperate to hear from God. But then you know as well as I do that after the crisis passes, after the need is met, and we get on with our life, that desperation and that hunger dissipates. Is it any wonder that we seldom hear from him in other times of life? I want you to write this down. Where there is no hunger, there is often no hearing. Where there is no hunger, there is often no hearing. And my prayer for you this week is that God, my prayer for us is that God would reignite a hunger in us to hear from him afresh. A hunger that says there is nothing and no one else that will do. I want to hear from God. That's hunger. Here's amplifier number two. It's responsiveness. Responsiveness, responding to what we hear. So here we're getting at that word, listen. So it says, blessed are those who listen. What we need to understand is that the word listen is not passive. It's not just talking about the process of sound waves hitting your eardrums. Listening involves responding to what's heard. This is why we're warned in the book of Hebrews. Look at what it says, Hebrews 4:7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. One author said it this way, referring to that verse. Anything we ignore, we become hardened too. Let me explain how this works. So when my wife and I first moved back to Illinois after getting married, I was serving on our Galesburg campus, which today is the Ascent Church. I was there as the youth pastor. And there was a very kind lady in the congregation who graciously rented her farmhouse to us. So this was the first place we lived when we were in Galesburg. It's about 20 minutes outside of Galesburg in St. Augustine. And it was a very spacious farmhouse. We were super grateful for it. But the one thing about this house is that it had railroad tracks that literally ran like right through the front yard. So if you've ever been to Galesburg, you know there are lots of trains all the time. And so this railroad track by this house would get used many times during the day and night. So when we first moved in there, there'd be times when you would hear a train come tearing through in the middle of the night, and it would literally shake the house. There would be wall hangings and pictures rattling against the wall when these trains would come through, and you'd be woken up. But after a while, I learned to, when that train would come through, I learned to just kind of roll over, put a pillow over my head, turn a sound machine on, and ignore it. And guess what? The more I ignored it, the more I became hardened to it, meaning I was less affected by it and less sensitive to it. And eventually, it was as if I didn't even hear the train at night and I could sleep right through it. See, the more we ignore something, the more hardened to it we become. And just as that's true for the sound of a train, so it is for the voice of God. But the flip side is, the more we respond to something, the more sensitive to it we become. So think about it like this. Have you ever felt what you thought was your phone vibrating in your pocket, but then you went to grab it and you realized your phone wasn't there? Anybody ever had that experience before? Scientists actually have a name for it. It's called phantom vibration syndrome. Okay, it happens, and here's why it happens. Because when we continually respond to a vibration from our phone, we become more and more sensitive to anything that even feels that way, even if it's just a muscle twinge or a twitch. See, here's the point. The more you respond to something, the more sensitive to it you become. This is why responsiveness is essential. So here's a good question for all of us to consider this morning. Is there something God has asked me to do that I haven't done? Is there something God has asked me to do that I haven't done? Maybe God's asked you to forgive the person who hurt you. Respond, forgive them. Maybe God's impressed on your heart to shoot a text and encourage someone. Respond, text them. Maybe, you know, God's made it clear that you shouldn't be in the current dating relationship you're in. Respond, dump them. Maybe that sounds a little bit too harsh. You don't have to be mean to them. But what I'm saying is, if you know in your heart you shouldn't be in that dating relationship, then what are you still doing? Respond to what God has spoken to you and get out of it. Maybe God's been nudging you to help that neighbor who's been hurting financially. Respond, help them. If there is something that God has asked you to take care of, do it immediately. Respond. Now, some may ask, well, John, how do I know if what I'm sensing is from God? It's a good question. Here's two ways to cross-check it. Number one, God's word. Ask the question, is what I believe I'm hearing, what I'm sensing, consistent with the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God as revealed through Scripture? Our founding pastor used to say, if it contradicts his word, it's not God you've heard. So we cross-check it through Scripture. Here's the second way we cross-check it: God's people. Invite godly counsel into your life and weigh it with them. sounds like this. Here's what I'm sensing. Does this sound consistent with how God speaks? Does this align with godly wisdom? I have seen time and time again, people who have gotten themselves into some serious binds because they got a word from God and decided they didn't need to hear from anyone else and ran full speed ahead to their detriment. Now, again, that's not to say you need counsel around everything you hear. I mean, you don't need to call a meeting of the minds about whether you should send an encouraging text to somebody. But let's say you sense God calling you to quit your job, sell your house, or to marry someone. Those might be ones that you want to invite godly counsel into and to say, here's what I'm sensing in my heart. I want to just kind of put it before you. How does that hit you? Now, I'm not saying you automatically have to do what they say, but I'm saying it's going to give you another perspective, another angle to look at what you're sensing in your heart. So we want to respond immediately what God is calling us to do. But we also want to ensure that it's God we're hearing. And that's where the cross checks come in. Okay, let's talk about amplifier number three, attentiveness. Attentiveness. This speaks to being alert to the voice of God and how he may be speaking to you. Look back at the passage in Proverbs. Blessed are those who listen to me. Then it says watching. Watching daily at my doors. Watching, that means to be on the lookout for. To be attentive to God's voice, because recognize, while God certainly could speak to us in an audible voice, most of the time the way he communicates is quietly in our spirits. This could be through a verse he lays on our heart, a thought, an impression, a picture, a desire, but understand, they all require attentiveness, because the noise and distraction of our lives can deafen us to the voice of God. I was thinking back to when each of our children, Mikhail and I's children, were babies. And so there'd be times where we would get them, one of us would get them down to bed. And let's say we're watching a movie or we're watching a sports event or whatever it might be. And one of us would think that we heard the baby crying. And so what would happen? We'd say, hey, mute it or press pause. We do one of these. Okay, all right. We say, okay, nope, that was actually just the TV, or no, that was the air kicked on, or oh, that's actually the baby crying. But in order to hear them, you understand, had to turn down the volume. And so if we're gonna cultivate a greater attentiveness to God's voice, I believe we could all benefit from having periods of time in our life and in our day where we turn down the volume through the practice of silence. And this could look a lot of different ways. Okay, like for me, one of the ways that I often do this through my quiet time, but one of the ways I've really been enjoying is through a midday walk. No phone, no earbuds, just walking, praying, and listening. I don't know what it is for you, but I find that I often hear and I feel closest to God when I'm in nature. There's just something about it. It's just creation. And often when I walk, I'd just be amazed at some of the things that come up in my mind and my heart. Maybe for you, you know, it's your drive home from work. So like, what if one way, not both ways, but what if just one way each day, you know, you stop listening to NPR or Mel Robbins or Diary of a CEO or whatever it might be, that whatever we listen to, and just turned it off and just sat in complete silence. I've started trying to do this more and more, and you'll be amazed again at the things. When you just get quiet, you'll be amazed at the things that start to bubble up in your heart and in your mind when you attend to the very place that God speaks to you. Or maybe it's, hey, you plan one day a month where you're gonna break away from the distractions and you're gonna go to a place that's conducive to silence, and you're gonna read, you're gonna journal, you're gonna pray, whatever that might look like. In a noisy and distracted world, we must increasingly find ways to cultivate greater attentiveness to what the Lord is speaking to our heart. Okay, let's talk about amplifier number four, consistency. Consistency. So look back, Proverbs 8:34. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching, and then this is another key word, daily. daily at my doors. I want you to notice, it doesn't say watching occasionally at my doors or watching every once in a while at my doors. It says watching daily at my doors. It speaks to the consistent pursuit of the Lord, showing up day in and day out. If you want to hear from God, there has to be a consistent pursuit. So for a moment, let's just get real practical. I'm big on practicality. I mean, eventually everything needs to be practical. So one of the greatest ways to develop that consistent pursuit, you hear me say this all the time, is through daily Bible reading. Because while God speaks to us in various ways, this right here is gonna be the primary way that he speaks to you. This is gonna be the primary way that he speaks to you. When it comes to your Bible reading, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think drip, not binge. Drip, not binge. We all know what it is in the age of Netflix and streaming platforms. We all know what it is to binge something. You know, you watch finish a whole show in 2 days. Sometimes I've found that we take that approach with the Bible, where we'll crank up the intensity for a few days, you know, read through half the New Testament, and then not touch it for 6 weeks. This is always a danger coming out of the fast, where we've sought the Lord at a greater level of intensity for the past 3 weeks. But then what can happen is we went really hard and then we just check out for the next 2 months. Listen, nothing wrong with times of greater intensity. But I'm telling you, the power is in the drip. The daily, consistent drip of God's word into your life. This is true with anything. Like, you know, if you want to get in shape, right? You can go work out hard for a month, but if you don't do anything for the next 6 months after that, it's not going to really make a difference. The power is in the daily building on those things, right? It's the daily drip, drip, not binge. Simple and practical way to consistently watch daily at his door. Okay, and here's the last one, amplifier number 5. It's patience. Patience. Not my favorite word, but it's vital. So let's go back to our verse for a moment, okay? Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors. And now again, let's talk about waiting at my doorway. Waiting. That requires patience. And this cuts against the grain of our culture. Immediate gratification is deeply ingrained in us. Same day delivery, express lanes, fast pass, curbside pickup, like everything in our culture is built around, we're trying to eliminate wait and you know, we want it to be about expediency. And I'm good with that. Like yesterday I had to go to the Verizon store and I had to sit and wait. And I'm telling you, it was like my hand started shaking while I was waiting. I'm like, I'm not used to this. We don't like to wait. We want it now. But you understand, this is the opposite often of how God works. Look at Psalm 37. Many of you know this verse. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Think about these three words, be still, wait, patient. Still, wait, patient. Those are all words that we have thrown out a long time ago. We don't wanna be still, we don't wanna wait, we don't wanna be patient. But listen, the truth still stands. Hurry and hearing do not go well together. Hurry and hearing don't go well together. We know this to be true in everyday life. So husbands, I want you to just think about this for a moment. I pray I'm not the only one. But there's been many times where I've been in a hurry in the morning to get out the door. And when I'm in that place, my lovely wife will come and sometimes she will download a list of things that she needs from me for that day. So I'm in a hurry, she starts downloading her list and I say, okay, good, I got it. I go get in the car and I'm like, I don't remember a thing she just said. Am I the only one or any of us ever experienced that, right? Okay, hurry and hearing don't go well together. You know what I'm talking about. If we wanna truly hear, we're gonna have to slow down. Be patient and wait. So again, let's just make it really practical and talk about how do we cultivate this as it pertains to hearing from God. Okay, since we've been talking about scripture, hearing God through scripture, let's just start there for a moment. One of the things that I've discovered in my own life, and even through this fast, one of the greatest ways to short circuit hearing from God is to get in a rush to finish your Bible reading and check it off for the day. Now listen, as I've shared, I'm a big proponent of Bible reading plans. But I want you to recognize the goal of our daily reading is not just to finish, but to hear. The goal of our daily reading is not just to finish so we can check it off, but to hear. And so patience looks like after you finish your reading for the day, I want to encourage you to go back and sit with any word, phrase, or verse that really stood out to you. And ask the author, the Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today? That's where revelation happens. You know, Paul prayed that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is different than just knowing things in the Bible. It's when the Holy Spirit lifts something off out of the word directly for you that day. And so part of being patient is every day just creating space, even as just, you know, what if you just started with 3 to 5 minutes? Just create space to listen and hear you just maybe write out, here's what I'm sensing. Sometimes you're gonna find that you have only scratched the surface of what God is speaking to you if you will just be patient. You're his child and he longs to speak with you. But it's gonna start with us saying, you know what, I wanna tune in. And I want to hear from God. It's got to be our conviction. So in closing, I want to ask you to stand to your feet. We've just walked through 5 different amplifiers to help us hear God's voice. But you know, I believe it all starts with a hunger to hear from God. And so what we're gonna do as we close is we're just gonna ask the Lord that he would give us a fresh hunger to hear from him. This is something the Lord stirred up in my heart over the last week. And I pray that he stirs the same thing in your heart, because like I said, there are a few things more important in this life than hearing from God. So what I want you to do is just, if you feel comfortable today, I want you to just stretch your hands heavenward. Just a posture of saying, Lord, I desire to hear from you. So you might just pray this with me in the quietness of your heart. You just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I'm asking today that you would give me a fresh hunger to seek after you and to hear from you for my life. All throughout your word, you say, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. Lord, would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us a hunger and a desire to hear from you above all else? A desire that says, I will not settle for any substitute or replacement. I want to hear from the living God. So Lord, we ask for that today. We say, speak, for your servant is listening. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to respond. We're gonna give you all the praise for what you do. And it's in the mighty and matchless and all-powerful name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, give him praise, church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, I love you. I'm so glad you could be here with us today. If you need prayer for anything, come on down front. We'd love to pray for you. Be safe on your way home, and we'll look forward to seeing you back next Sunday.